Pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
That's what you call a grand entry.
Yeah. Okay. Is everybody hearing me okay?
Okay.
Good. Good. I had a little bit of feedback there. Couldn't figure out what's going on. I turn off that TV and my mind works. Have you guys noticed that? I never ever watch TV. I don't even watch. And my mind is so much more clear. And I sometimes surf through Facebook and selectively pull stuff off there, but there's no propaganda. There's no how people can sit in front of the Fox News. See, Fox News is a part of propaganda as well. They're just a little softer with it. If you think, hey folks, you better hear me and hear me clear, okay? Conservatism is counterfeit salt. Conservatism is a substitute to the gospel. It is a palatable substitute to salt. When you turn on Fox News, is Fox News openly leading with the gospel? Are their hosts and their programs and their debate, is it gospel-centered? Do you hear the gospel of Jesus coming in at all when you tune in Fox News? The answer is, of course not. Of course not. Okay, so then, is conservatism Christianity? Well, of course not. Of course it isn't. And see, what's happened to us is we have been so dumbed down that we now turn to Fox News and think we're getting biblical truth. And we're not, man. We're not. I don't sit in front of Sean Hannity anymore, Bill O'Reilly and Megyn Kelly and I spent so much time doing that, thinking that they had it all figured out, listening to Rush Limbaugh, thinking Rush had it all figured out, when really, in fact, I've been listening to Rush the last couple of days. Has anybody out there ever heard Rush Limbaugh take on a conspiracy theory? You ever heard Rush talk about whether or not 9-1-1 was real? Have you ever heard Rush question at all the stories that are coming out of Las Vegas as to whether they were true or not? You ever hear Rush do that? No, it's Republican, Democrat, conservative. It's always the same. It's always the same. Rush is a color commentator in a football game. He tells you the plays this team is running, and he tells you the plays this team is running. And when this team is winning over here, he tells you what this team needs to do to stop what's going on over here. And we sit in front of him, and every answer Rush Limbaugh gives, are you ready? Is a non-biblical solution, couched in conservatism. Conservatism is pretend salt, okay? It's pretend salt. This is what hit me just before I came down here. In fact, I was sitting at my desk when I did it. Lord, where do you want me to go? Okay, we'll go there first. Jared, go to that one I just sent you that says, morning, boys and girls. Good morning. Go to the one, Jared, that says, hey, Jared, I got to see what I sent you because I don't want to lose this. The one that has, Jared, my list of, there it is. It says commentaries. I'm going to blow some of you away. I'll blow some of you away. Jared's going to pull this up here, and this is not self-aggrandizement. This is not braggadocio. This is none of that stuff. I want to show you something. I want to show you that I've been at this a while, okay? I've been at this a while. It's funny because we are capturing, Jared's doing a great job of capturing all my content that's on the internet. In other words, over the, I've hung about almost 1,000 videos I have on the internet. I've been doing this a while, okay? I'm a little bit slow technologically keeping up, but I'm not some Johnny come lately. I've been doing it for 20 years. The commentaries that I've written, we were afraid that we would lose him. If something ever happened, the internet went down. Jared's been capturing all that stuff for me. But I got to show you something. I'm sorry out there if you're listening and you can't follow. Jared's got it up there. I want you guys to look at something here. Jared, just kind of scroll down slowly here if we can. Folks, now look at this. These are the archives. Now look, this is start at the top, Jared. Hang on a second. According to this thing, News with Views made a switch in a website switch. So these are if you go to News with Views right now and you click on Coach Dave's commentaries, they're only going to show you the ones up until 3/23/17. They made a switch that day, okay? I write one every week, okay? With me? And then this is the rest of the archive that you will never see on News with Views, only just because they haven't put them up there. But I want you to understand. Jared, let's go down to the very bottom. I have been writing a commentary at News with Views every Thursday. It's posted every Thursday for how long? Scroll down. There it is, Jared, down at the bottom. Look at that. 5/11/04. Churches are spreading mad cow disease. Now, Jared, look at these as we go up. Breaking the huddle, the deluded Christian church. Whatever happened to sin? Slow down there a second, Jared. Just stay right there a minute. Whatever happened to sin? Wake up, Pastor, your men are bored. American church leadership abandons Terry Schiavo. Can the church awaken from her persistent vegetative state? Progressive Christianity. Katrina, just some thoughts. Trust me. Doesn't God care? Patriot pastors in Ohio. All down. Hey, Jared, now go ahead and scroll down. Look at these dates. This is somebody help me. How long ago was it? It was 2004. What is this? 2017. This is 13 years of commentary. Acknowledgement is not established. No Jesus, no peace. Scroll down through them, Jared. Hey, Gary Pierce, who I know is listening. There's a book here, brother. Look at all of these. Is Rosie O'Donnell a radical? Slow down a minute, Jared. The bullpen is empty. The mind that could put me in, coach. Soul sick America. It's talk radio's fault and to the Republic. There's some unbelievable stuff here that I've written. I'm not some Johnny come lately. What's the talk when you eat it? I've been ingesting this stuff for years and years. 2007. Keep going down. Look at these. I'm homo nauseous. That was a good one. Slow down there, Jared. I'm homo nauseous. I'm sick of it. Hillary can't win. 2007. And of course, that was 2000. Spiritual diabetes. Did Jesus follow Romans 13? Unfair and unbalanced. Squandered grace. What color is your Christianity? The death of shame. Christian hedonism. Every one of these would be an unbelievable show. Does this sound like I'm bragging? I'm sorry if it does. I'm trying to show you guys that my worldview has been being shaped for 13 years, 20 years. I've been writing about it. Look at this. Is this amazing? Hey, Jared, just click on one of them. Let's see, Jared. Click on secular conservatism. Luke, hey, pick any one of them. Secular conservatism. And then 2010 explains what secular conservatism. Let me see if I had this straight. He is the champion of the conservative movement, even though he has struggled with drug addiction to pain, killer oxycodone. I'm talking about Rush. He was found to be using Viagra, even though he was unmarried, and recently took the walk down the aisle for his fourth till death do us part thou. This king of conservatism was 27 when his new bride was born. At the wedding celebration, he treated his guest to a $1 million serenade by the music queen Elton John, who recently declared that Jesus was gay, financially empowering the former Reginald Dwight Elton with the ability to pour another $1 million into his anti-Christian activity. Rush Limbaugh, L. Rushbo, is the king of secular conservatism. This page is lined with these things, okay? Jared, go back, because I want to show you one I just pulled up here today so that you guys don't think, okay, Jared, all the way up. I want them all to stand. Coach, you just You're bragging. I'm not bragging. Most of you don't even know. Just stop a minute, Jared. Hang on a minute. You see the one on Michael Savage? Where was it? It just caught my eye. I'm sure you guys don't know this. Why is the media blackballing Michael Savage? Where was it? I saw it. Maybe down a little bit farther. Why is the media? Yeah, I just thought. Caught my eye when we went. There it is, Jerry. Why the blackballing of Michael Savage? January 20, 2011. I wrote this, and did you know? 3 days later, I was on the Michael Savage. Did you know that Michael Savage interviewed me? Really? Yeah, because I posted this. Okay, so Coach, what are you trying to say? I've been a little bit ahead of the time on what I'm trying to say. Hey, Sarge. Hey, Gary. There's about four books here. Now, Jared, go back and let's click on cultural aids, which is one of these that is in this. Okay. I don't know how many of these guys, there might be 400 of these commentaries. I don't even know. But I wrote on January 7th, 2010, that multiculturalism is societal AIDS. Is it okay if I go down through this? Sure it is. Got a frog, my friend. Sorry. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I don't know if it's actually a natural law or not, but there's no doubt that we become like the company we keep. My mama used to tell me that when you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Paul put it this way, come out from among them and be ye separate. The idea that we are all the same and that all cultures are equal is folly. This cultural Marxism dressed up as multiculturalism has destroyed this nation. It is the AIDS virus of the American society. Hey, Jared, when was this written? When was it? 2010, early 2010. What year is this? 2017. I got the evidence, boys. All societies and all beliefs are not equal and not all behavior is appropriate. Marxist ideals and communist beliefs did not die with the fall of the Soviet Union. Ideals do not die. They merely change their names. Today, Marxism is ravaging the American society in the same way that AIDS destroys the body. We were told that communism was dead, but we failed to realize that it has merely changed tactics. Instead of guns and bombs, the weapon communist foot soldiers have chosen to employ words. Their stealth attack has come under the guise of tolerance, social justice, economic justice, peace, reproductive rights, sex education, safe sex, safe schools, inclusion, diversity, and sensitivity. Permit me to say it again, multiculturalism is the AIDS virus of the American Christian culture. Let there be no mistake, America is a Christian culture, despite what the homo culturalists want you to believe. A Christian culture, not a Christian nation. Separation of church and state does not mean separation of Christianity and culture. And even though our churches teach a Christo-humanism, the rules by which Americans raise our children are still Christian-based. And a few years ago, I wrote that atheism is a fraud, knowing that I would have to endure the wrath of the so-called moral atheist. I received scores of responses like this. It is idiots like you that give Christians a bad name. What makes you think that only Christians can be moral? I'm a proud atheist, and I'm a better person than most people I know, especially so-called Christians. That was built for me. They don't even realize that they're making my point. Christianity is more than a religion. It's a worldview, a way of life, if you will, that even non-believers can adhere to. Yep, even atheists can be trained to follow right and wrong. These moral atheists have not grasped the realization that their standard of right and wrong is culturally based. Only with careful prodding can you get them to see that do unto others is a Christian virtue, one not universally practiced in other cultures. Because America is a Christian-based culture, our women don't wear burkas and receive clitorectomies, at least not yet. You'll think I'm wrong? Even our pagan-promoting government schools teach quasi-Christian values. In fact, they are the point of infection of most of our cultural AIDS. Fairness and justice are the linchpins upon which the moral atheists hang their beliefs. But fairness, ooh, here it is. Fairness is the enemy of truth. Boys, I got to say this. This is pretty profound. The educational syndicate values fairness above truth. Homosexuals deserve to marry because to deprive them of that right would not be fair. Having too much money would not be fair. Profiling terrorists would not be fair. Meanwhile, our fairness has cost the rest of us our liberty. Islam isn't even a race, it's a religion. What makes fairness such an important virtue? Does the desire to be fair trump the commandment to be truthful? Calling homosexuality a death style is not politically correct, but it would not be nice, even though it's true. Labeling abortion choice may be non-judgmental, but child killing isn't very nice to the baby. Indoctrination has a negative connotation, but in truth, we're all indoctrinated. A doctrine is a set of beliefs. To indoctrinate is to put a set of beliefs into someone. Isn't that what parenthood and education is all about? And as I've often stated, the question is not will doctrine be taught to our children, but which doctrine? The cultural Marxists are using the Christian principles of the Golden Rule to indoctrinate us with Marxist beliefs. Abraham Lincoln warned us the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. Can you say Barack Obama? The multiculturalists have spread their poison mixed with the syrup of Christianity through our government school indoctrination. They change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the creator. In the multicultural version of Christianity, homosexuality is not wrong, but those who speak against it are. Violating the law of God is not nearly as sinful as holding the sinner accountable. Loving the sinner is far more honorable than hating the sin. The current Obamaocracy in Washington is a manifestation of Lincoln's admonition. His admonition is the poster child of multicultural Christianity. Love the terrorist, hate the terror. By co-opting Christianity, they've infected Americans a Christian culture. We no longer recognize truth. What AIDS does to the immune system, multiculturalism has done to our nation. This is 2010. Watch for the coming assault on Brit Hume. All he did was suggest what millions of Americans have been thinking. For why does it profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his soul? Hume had the courage and personal conviction to say that Tiger Woods needs Jesus. This was just after Tiger blew up and went crazy. He had suggested meditation or sex addiction therapy. Had he suggested meditation or sex addiction therapy, or perhaps a session on Oprah's couch, Brit would have been hailed as a compassionate and understanding. But to opine that sin requires redemption demands penance for such a sinful thought. Look at what Christian has become. The new AIDS has emaciated the church. The average American Christian no longer has the ability to discern right from wrong because the virus has invaded the leadership. There's no prophylactic for the tainted meat belching from the pulpits. The watchmen have been infected, and they're passing the bug through their humanistic sermons. Where is the man of God who will boldly declare the oracles of God? And Hebrews 5, verse 12 says this. When, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A sea change is occurring in America. The silent majority is beginning to sing. In the rush to reclaim our government, we must be sure not to ignore the point of the, we must close the door through which the infection has invaded. Get out of your dead church. Start or join a home fellowship. Don't wait on your pastor to get healthy. Most have full-blown AIDS. Trust yourself, those you fellowship with, and the Holy Spirit to guide you to all truth. Take ownership of your own spiritual health. Remove your children from public schools. It's the greatest gift you can give them. We must quarantine our children from the poison of the left. Stop fighting to reform your public schools. Isolate for impact. See your children as tomorrow's leaders. Form a homeschool co-op with other like-minded parents. Don't waste money on Christian schools. Most merely mix a little Bible with your humanism. Educate yourself. Turn off Fox News, O'Reilly, Hannity, and Limbaugh. Get out of the conservative box they've trapped you in. Develop the mind of Christ and study to see the world through the filter of scriptures rather than conservative media. Remember, conservatism is counterfeit salt. None of the big three talkers are Christians. They cannot understand spiritual things. They're trying to do what pastors won't, but offer political solutions for spiritual problems. Hold tea parties in your home. where you can help inoculate your family and friends against the cultural Marxist infection. Show videos, share ideas, teach the Constitution. Most people just don't know. Call local talk shows, write letters to the editor, help people realize they've been snookered. Stand up, speak up, don't back down. Lift up the Lord and his word, his plan. That's how the Marxists have won. We could learn a thing or two from studying them. Their techniques of war. Is there any reason why we can't win the next generation? What they have done with lies, we can do with truth. Revival is going on around the world. Why not here? Revival or death, that is America's choice. Time to get off of your lazy hind end and resist the infection. 2010. Is that? What do you think of that, Joe? What do you think of that?
I knew you were going to ask me that one.
Well.
Coach, just so you know, and there's no issues here, but let's see. How about, do you remember The Pulpits Are Silent?
Yes, sir. That was, and
the Congregation of the Dead. Yeah. I recall both of those, and our military got to hear them.
Is that right? Praise the Lord. Yeah.
That was done when you put them out. And and I wasn't a subscriber. Someone turned me on to it. So I said, oh, okay, I'll check it out.
Unbelievable.
And it was a slap in the face. The Lord said, you do that one. So I did those two. That's the only two I've ever recorded. But now I see this list.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Jared, listen, I don't know how we do this. Let's make this available to people, that this page where all these are. Make this available to people, because I'm telling you, folks, you want to talk about getting a group of men together and having a conversation. Start with any one of these. Sit down with a group of five guys, make copies of it, and sit around and read it together and just talk about it, because these things are all spiritually based. Every one of them are culture and spirituality coming together, every one of them. And we have to educate, we have to inoculate. Man, thank you, Lord, for bringing that to my attention. I don't know how many of them are. I think there's 400. Voodoo Christianity. Wow. Race barkers. Huh? The real problem with the NFL, the law of first mention, thinking through my keyboard, feeling it. As goes the church, so goes the nation. There's no dignity in filth. What do we do about adultery? Oh, my goodness. That took 23 minutes, fellas. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. That stuff's all available in your... Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Lord, help us. Okay, so... Anybody want to say anything? You don't have to say, oh, Coach, great writing. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Anybody have anything germane to say about this? Because I want to move on here a little bit. A lot of stuff I want to show you. Good. Hey, Jared, let's go to my to what stuff I sent you. Let me show you something. I was looking this morning, wasn't able to find it. Sometimes when you're in the middle of something, you don't realize you're in the middle of it until it's over. Any of you out there lived through the 1960s? Tune in, turn on, drop out. Make love, not war. You guys probably know some more slogans that I don't know. A Woodstock generation. And then you live in the 60s and you get in the 80s and you look back and say, whoo, Jesus, stuff that I did, stuff we went through. We never appreciate the bigger picture when we're only focused on the now. And that's where most of us are. We're focused on the now. We don't have the ability to see down the road. See, where there is no vision, the people perish. Folks, listen, vision and sight are not the same thing. They're not the same thing. Sight is the ability to see. Vision is the ability to process what you see and see further down the road. I used to walk the halls when I was a football coach looking for new football players. And I would walk in, I would see a guy who would be built in such a, you know, he'd have a certain body type, and I would look at him and I'd have a vision for him as a football player. So, oh my goodness, there's an outside linebacker. Oh my goodness, there's a wide receiver. Oh, there's a defensive tackle. I would see with my eyes and then process it and have a vision. You guys understanding me? Hey, guys, can I tell you something? There ain't no vision in the church. There's no vision in the church. If there is a vision in the church, it's only to build a bigger church. Otherwise, there's no vision in it. Somebody trying to get in?
Yep.
Go.
Remember, if you tell them, just so the guys know, you take them things to people and they like to read. Remember 14 years ago or 13 years ago, I was taking them to the old church I went to. And people were hungry to read them until the pastor found out that I was bringing them in, and he didn't like it.
No, he didn't like it. No, pastors don't like it. They don't like it. Where there is no vision. See, here's what I was on Hagman last night. I'm sure many of you were able to hear me on Hagman last night. Again, I was trying to spell out a vision. A vision. Wake up, look what's going on, and what do we do about it? What's our vision? How do we get beyond that? Well, I'm in, Jared, I'm in 2 Corinthians 7. I think that's the right one. 6, Jared, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. I'll get Joe reading it here. It's worth it. Joe, go ahead. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1.
We then, as workers together with him.
Uh-oh. Not sitters or prayers or hopers. No, we are workers. Go ahead, Joe.
Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain.
Oh, I want to preach. Go.
I know you do. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I scoured thee, or succored thee, excuse me.
That's right.
Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
The Lord is saying, live now. It's about now, with a vision down the road. Get the most out of now. Go ahead, Joe.
Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things.
Wow.
O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels.
You've done it to yourself, baby.
Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children.
Larry, he ain't speaking to everybody. He's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to his children.
Be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
What's your kid doing in public school?
And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?
What concord hath Christ with the public schools?
Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
What if you're this is so simple. Go on, Joe, I'm sorry.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
The church and the government.
For ye are the temple of the living God.
You are, God, Jeff.
I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Unbelievable. My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. So you understand why multiculturalism is spiritual AIDS? You understand it? You understand it? When they're trying to tell us we're all the same, all religions are the same, all races are the same. No, no. See, there's two races, those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. And Paul is saying in this, I'm paraphrasing Paul, when you become a Christian, you leave all that worldly stuff behind. You don't even identify as that. That isn't even who you are anymore. And you can't leave this world. We cannot be part of this world. But he said, come out from among them and be separate. Quit hanging out with that old crowd that you used to hang out with. And if you're caught into a church that is compromised, well, how much compromise is enough for you? A little leaven of the whole lump. How much compromise can you put up with? At what point do you get up and say, hey, I'm being led by the Lord to get out of here, to run for my life in the sake of my children and my grandchildren. Run for my life. Because why? The pastors are already infected with AIDS. They already have it. And you go in there and you're catching it from them. Larry, I noticed you made a note there. You popped up there, said something about twice. You jump in there and I wasn't watching. Jared, let's go back up. You know what I'm saying, Larry? I saw your comment pop up there. Where was that? The beginning? Oh. I'm in, Larry. Larry maybe ran the bathroom.
Larry can't get in. No, he says he's muted. And he can't mute himself.
Jared, is he muted? Do you have Larry muted? That's unusual, like we're trying to shut Larry up. Because I know it's something important that I'm trying to find out where it was. I'm reading it. Larry, you have to do it to yourself, brother. Jared said you're muted. Just you muted yourself somehow. You have to unmute it. I'm going to move on while I wait for Larry. Now, boy, Jared, let's go to let's go to 12 rules for radicals. Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. This is what they're using against us. What they're using against us. Vain imagination, right? Philosophies of men. And we still haven't picked up. We still have not picked up. Saul Alinsky wrote the book Rules for Radicals. Obama loved it. Hillary Clinton was an intern for Saul Alinsky. She wrote a paper on Saul Alinsky. Hillary Clinton did. The leaders of the Democratic Party wrote this is their rules for radical. Here's the 12 rules for radicals. I see Larry trying to call in. I don't know what's wrong with his microphone. I'll give you a minute, Larry, for that thing to buzz, because I know you were trying to make a point. You know, I'm down in my studio. Sometimes my phone doesn't ring. Now. There it is. Give it to us, Larry.
Joe pretty much covered it, the scripture that he read, but the point is that even back when the church was early and Paul was prompted to
now we lost Larry on the phone. Sorry, Larry. Gotta move on, got a show to do. Unless you can try it again, brother. We'll give you another try. While I'm on rules with radicals, we're talking about multiculturalism, talking about the same stuff we talked about yesterday. I'm trying to draw together so you see what's happened to us. Because if we don't understand what happened to us, how are we going to be able to do anything about it? Oh, my goodness. Jared, something on my screen. How do I get rid of these people? Because it's blocking me from, maybe if I hit that. There we go. Okay, here we go, guys. These are rules, Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. And see if you don't see this happening in our society and why we are losing our culture. Remember, multiculturalism is societal AIDS. Multiculturalism destroys cultures, societies. We're going to try it again.
Back in Martin Luther's day, he had something to say about the church. You get things wrong, and he was to the church door. the point is, for 14 years, you've been putting the truth out there about the cancerous condition of that calls itself the church. And I still say, and God, if you're listening and watching a podcast or whatever, listen up. When we, who know at least part of the truth and are trying to learn the rest and trying to live our lives according to it, when we start telling people that the church is the, you know, when we start referring to that force, the view that that is the church.
I got time. You're right. That's not the church. Amen. Amen, Larry. Hey, Joe. Get your pipes ready here, Joe. Let's read down through this. Let's read down through it quickly. I don't know if you can read quickly or not. Here it is, guys. Here's Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals that they're using to destroy the American society. Just start right there. Here's the complete list. Start with number one. Jared, I'm getting feedback from somebody's microphone. There you go. Go, Joe.
Okay.
Rule number one, Joe.
Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. You want me to read the rule titles?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Rule two, never
go
out.
No, I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead and read. Power is derived.
Power is derived from two main sources, money and people. Have-nots must build power from flesh and blood. These are two things of which there is a plentiful supply.
Flesh and blood.
Government and corporations always have a difficult time appealing to people and usually do so almost exclusively with economic arguments.
Number two.
Rule two. Never go outside the expertise of your people. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Feeling secure adds to the backbone of anyone.
See, untrained Christians, untrained Christians, they don't have the expertise. That's why they won't stand up and speak up, right? Make feelings secure adds to the backbone of it. Keep going, Joe.
Organizations under attack wonder why radicals don't address the real issues. This is why they avoid things with which they have no knowledge.
Oh, my goodness. Let's fight on their turf. Let's not accept everything they say. Let's fight on their turf. We win on their turf. Keep going, Joe.
Rule three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. This happens all the time. Watch how many organizations under attack are blindsided by seemingly irrelevant arguments that they are then forced to address.
Wow, look at the attacks upon Donald Trump of all this meaningless stuff that they're using, trying to bring him down. Rule four.
Rule four. Here we go. Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. If the rule is that every letter gets a reply, send 30,000 letters. You can kill them with this because no one can possibly obey all of their own rules. This is the serious side. The besieged entity's very credibility and reputation is at stake, because if activists catch it lying or not living up to its commitments, they can continue to chip away at the damage. Rule five, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. Pretty crude, rude, and mean, huh? They want to create anger and fear.
Wow. Keep going, Joe.
Rule six. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. They keep doing it without urging and come back to do more.
Antifa.
They're doing their thing and will even suggest better ones. Radical activists in this sense are no different than any other human being. We all avoid unfun activities, but we revel at and enjoy the ones that work and bring results.
So we've turned church into fun. That's the way we'll get people in, is we turn church into fun. And by the way, have you noticed from yesterday's show the misuse of the term radical? You notice it? Keep going, Joe.
Rule 7. A tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Don't become old news. Even radical activists get bored. So to keep them excited and involved, organizers are constantly coming up with new tactics.
How about this? Guys, are you even engaging your guys? Are your men even doing activities? Sitting in church, are there any new activities in church? Anything new to inspire a guy, get him out, get him involved, anything new? They get bored. 8.
Keep the pressure on. Never let up.
Yep.
Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them from the flank with something new.
Man, a man, a man.
Attack, attack, attack from all sides, never giving the reeling organization a chance to rest, regroup, recover, and re-strategize.
Keep the pressure on, baby. 9.
The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself.
Stay right there a second, Joe. Yeah, but if I speak up, what are they all going to do? What are they all going to say about me? If I go to the pastor and say something, the threat is usually more terrifying than what happens than the thing itself. Go, Joe.
Imagination and ego can dream up many more consequences than any activist. Perception is reality. Organizations always prepare a worst case scenario, something that may be furthest from the activists' minds. The upshot is that the organization will expend enormous time and energy creating in its own collective mind the direst of conclusions. The possibilities can easily poison the mind and result in demoralization.
Let me ask you a question right here. Let's stop right here a second. Is the goal of the church to win? Is the goal of the church to crush the enemy? Very simple. The answer to that is no, we have to love them into the kingdom. That's why we're losing. I want to crush them and then love them into the kingdom. Keep going, Joe.
Rule 10. If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. Unions use this tactic. Peaceful, albeit loud, demonstrations during the heyday of unions in the early to mid-20th century incurred management's wrath, often in the form of violence, that eventually brought public sympathy to their side.
You see what Donald Trump did to the NFL? Have you guys watched what Donald Trump did to the NFL? He has brought the NFL to its knees. 11.
The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem. Old saw, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Activist organizations have an agenda, and their strategy is to hold a place at the table, to be given a forum to wield their power. So they'll have to have a compromise solution. Good morning, beautiful.
My goodness. They're both down here now. The puppies have come in. Keep going. Pick number 12.
Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people. And not,
Joe, say this again. Do what?
Go after people.
People, not institutions. Go after people.
People hurt faster than institutions. This is cruel, but very effective. Direct, personalized criticism and ridicule works.
Hey, boys, is Trump using this? Is Donald Trump using the rules for radicals on his opponent?
Hillary.
As I said, let's stop trying to change the church because it's got a history. It's not going to change. Go after people in the church. Don't go after the church.
Amen. You go, man.
And I used the word church wrong that time. Forgive me.
Yeah, that's okay. Guys, come on, somebody jump in. You see what they've done to us? And so I speak up. I wrote a letter to the editor this week. It hasn't been published yet, and I'm not going to say what it is. And my wife, God bless my sweet little wife, she's so worried. What people going to say? What people going to do? I said, who cares? Who cares what people say or what people do? I'm writing the letter. It's the truth. Who cares? We need more people who will do that. See, remember, what did he say? The fear of the thing is often more, is often greater than the actual reality of it, right? Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. And see, that's not very loving, is it? Well, we're at war, baby. We're at war. They're stealing our children. They're stealing our very nature and our very culture. They're stealing it from us as we're trying to love them all the way to the kingdom. And Paul, we just read about it. He said, come out from among them and be separate. Yeah, hey, that doesn't mean run and hide. It means come out from among them, be them separate, and let's war. Let's go to war. Let's earnestly contend for the faith. Get away from them. Don't be on their team, and let's come out. Let's be separate. That's the way I read it. So it's multiculturalism, see. That's the spiritual AIDS. This has killed us. Isn't she pretty? Hi, Cerise, say hi. They ran down the hill to come out and see me here this morning. I got somebody jump in. I got a video I'm going to play. I hear somebody's mic cracking. Who wants in here? Maybe I didn't. Thought I did. There we go, Reese. Let's get this back up here. Okay, now I'm gonna try. See, when I get up in the morning, everything changes so much from day to day. It's hard for me to stay on track. You know, I've got ADD, ADHD. I go 1,000 different directions every morning, and I get up. And I'm trying to keep the program to be somewhat have some continuity to it. And sometimes I feel like I'm not one of those preachers that's going to do a sermon series. I'm not going to take you through Romans 1 and then Romans 2 and then Romans 3. That's not the way I operate. And I throw a lot of stuff out there that sometimes leaves you hanging, and I don't do it on purpose. Okay. Now I want you to watch this. This is hi, Davey. Come here, Dave. I want everybody to see why I'm fighting. Come here, man. Come here to Grampy. Yeah. Come here, man. Come here. Here's why I get up in the morning, boys, and do what I do. What do you mean? No. Say hi to everybody there. Yeah. That's what I'm fighting for. Gigi's come down there from my studio. They've called the cops. They broke into my studio. Here's something. I've showed part of this before, but I think it's important for us to see it again. This is 5 minutes long from Muhammad Ali. I think it's powerful. Jared, it's down there. You see what it is. It's a 5-minute clip. And he is really, this is back in 1970. He is going at the heart of political correctness. Couldn't say this today. Women, maybe a black guy could. I couldn't say this. I tried to. You get ridiculed. They frame you. They freeze you. Yeah, right wing watch. Who? What are they doing? Oh, that's right. They target me. They freeze me. They frame me. They keep after me. That's it. Right. They don't bother me. I don't care. Now listen to this from Muhammad Ali, from 1971 or 72. We've played it before, but I think it's, well, this is a different version of it. See what you think. Go ahead, Jared.
white woman in this audience today, any white man in this audience today, in their right minds, don't want little black boys and little black, white, black girls coming around your home, schools, and churches looking to marry your sons and daughters and in return introducing your grandchildren as little half-brown, kinky-haired Negro children. No intelligent black man in this audience, no intelligent black woman in this audience want little white boys and little white girls coming to marry their sons and daughters and in return introducing your grandchildren as little half-white, green-eyed, blonde-haired Negroes. We are not seeking to lose our identity in blood mixing and our beautiful black African history. We don't hate you. We don't hate those of you who are white. We just want to stay black. We love my color. I just love myself.
Nicole, let me tell you something. If you have any colleges here where black people go to college, have an assembly or something and watch and see all the Jamaicans or the Trinidadians or West Indians. They're just naturally humed together. Everybody likes to do this on. You see some blue birds going this way, red birds flying this way. They might get all mixed up, but they'll all come out together. And you see the tigers with the tigers, the monkeys with the monkeys, the lions with the lions, the giraffes with the giraffes. They're all animal cats, but they got different hangouts. You see the eagles over here, the pigeons over here, the buzzards over here, the all type bluebirds, the red birds, the owls, they all are birds, but they got different little cultures. You got your English talking, your English food, and you and the man in Germany are both brothers, but your cultures are different. You and the man in Russia are even more different yet. I was in Zaire, home of my brothers, but the food and the way they talk, the way they dance, I'm not home till I get back to Harlem to the brothers. Yeah, baby, I can't stand it. Yeah. See, so you understand, so ain't nothing wrong with wanting to be with your own kind. What's wrong with me wanting to be with my kind?
People to move in the neighborhoods, we clean their own neighborhoods. And another thing, when you say integration, it comes under intermarriage too, right? All
right,
been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, or no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind, want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters, and in return introducing their grandchildren as half-brown, kinky-haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would. No, it's just the point.
What I'm trying to say is this. And you don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't going to have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that.
No, that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you, you see.
Yeah, we much different.
That's, I mean, I think society's made us different.
You know we're different. We're all together.
But society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all, listen, blue birds fly with blue birds. Red birds want to be with red birds. Listen. Tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons. Tell me when I'm wrong.
We should have.
They don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right? Buzzards are with buzzards. Yeah. Buzzards are with buzzards. Bluebirds are with bluebirds. They all are birds, but they got different cultures. The eagles like to hang out in the mountains. The buzzards like to fly around the desert.
Well,
the bluebird like to fly around the trees and the grass.
There'd be certain problems, a buzzard mating with a sparrow, wouldn't there?
What?
There'd be certain...
Right. And that's, we have the problems, too. I don't see no black and white couples in England or America walking around proud holding their children.
That's because society...
And going out.
That's society's fault. We've got to educate people around it.
Well, life is too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. I have no trouble. I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand, yeah. I do understand. I think it's sad that...
That is sad because I want his child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I'm going to get out of my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted-eyed, pretty brown-skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics don't want to marry them with Catholics. They want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake when he made us all like we were.
I think that's a philosophy of despair.
Despair.
I really do.
It ain't no despair. Number one, can't no woman. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you. Listen, no woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last is a white woman, can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. See? And you can't take no Chinese man and give him no Puerto Rican woman and holler about we in love and you emotionally in love and physically, but really they're not happy because she's gonna hear some Puerto Rican music, he's gonna hear some Chinese music, and they're gonna be clashing all the time. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people.
Okay, so there you see, there you go. I mean, it may make some of you uncomfortable to listen to that. That's how many years ago? 50 years ago? 40 years ago? For him to boldly stand up and say that. And what did they give us? They gave us forced busing and integration and the desire. It was the beginning of the idea that we are one great big what? Society, all equal, multicultural, and it's our differences that make us strong. And all that stuff is true. But when you get to the point when you're talking about culture and how do you blend together a Christian American white Anglo-Saxon culture with a Hispanic culture that doesn't even speak the language, with a Muslim culture that has serves an entirely different God, with a government that has a different set of rules? Folks, listen, a culture is defined by the rules and regulations and beliefs that they have. That's what makes a culture a culture. It is not about race. What have they done? They focus all on race. Should a Christian black family be able to be in relationship with a Christian white family? Of course. Should a Christian American family be able to be in relationship with an Asian Christian family? Of course. Does it require intermixing? See, a lot of you are really uncomfortable. But this has been the seeds of disharmony and disunity that's been planted in our children. Yeah, Ray.
That reminds me, a few years back, a close friend of ours, a family member, Christian, married a Muslim, and they clashed so bad, she ended up suiciding herself in the end. Mm-hmm. So basically what Muhammad Ali is basically saying, that the blue birds don't fly with the red. Sometimes it'll work, you know, it might be the exception to the rule, but in the general aspect, you are not associating together properly with your relationships.
Hey, Ray, let's take color out of this. If a Muslim marries a Christian, what do you teach the children? What values are passed on to the children? I had enough of a struggle in my life because my dad was Catholic and my mother was not. And we were raised in a divided Christian family. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And so what they've done to us now is they've taught our children in particular. See, today, oh, this is going to come across wrong. Lord, help me to say it in the right way. Today, oh, Lord, help me to say it the right way. Today, interracial marriage would be considered honorable, when 40 years ago, it would have been considered a disgrace. Now, is it a disgrace or is it honorable? And has the mixing of culture been good for America, or has it been bad? Is America stronger today than we were 40 years ago, or are we weaker today? And it could be, are we weaker today because multiculturalism is spiritual AIDS and has brought an infection into what was the once great Christian American culture? Man, guys, this is deep, deep, deep. So I say we got to get the kids out of the public schools. Red birds fly with red birds. Blue birds fly with blue birds. Christians fly with Christians. Muslims fly with Muslims. Where the world is. God bless you. See you tomorrow.